Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This was a scenario where the conversation during the break really needed to happen on the air, because I really think that Diesel, when he has his firstborn son, he's going to call Ted Roof up to watch him when he finally does get a child. Because he's hoping that Ted Roof will be unemployed by the time that that happens.
Yeah, I got a job for you as a nanny.
That, by the way, the defensive coordinator of his beloved App State. Did you beat Idol this week, by the way?
Yeah, we did. We, you know, still undefeated.
Okay. Charlotte played App State, and he was basically trying to justify Charlotte with that 41-point effort against the Ted Roof defense that he abhors so much. Again, Charlotte plays Clemson this week.
But he coached at Auburn. He must be good.
They're in for a rude and painful surprise, are the 49ers out of Conference USA. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. Text line's open. 71307 is how you get in touch with us. Okay. So I was talking this over with a bunch of people who cover South Carolina. I seem to think that Will Muschamp is safe, but after talking to them more, if South Carolina loses each of these next two games against Missouri, and Kentucky, many believe that Boom is in trouble. That puts you at 1-4. The next game after the bye is Georgia, so you're assuming that's 1-5. Then you play Florida, and with that at 1-5, you need to basically go 5-1 over the last six to get to a bowl. And that last six is Florida at Tennessee, home Vandy, App State at A&M, and then home Clemson. There are not five wins in that group. There might be four, but there are not five. So this, if there is no bowl in this team's future, if there is a bowl in this team's future, you need two wins out of these next pair. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. We ask you that question at ESPN Upstate. We'll have the answers for you as you go throughout. First, we get a Harold, who is on the line, has been holding for the break, and he joins us to talk a little Gamecocks with us on ESPN Upstate. Harold, how was your weekend, sir?
Well, it was great. I mean, it's always great because I'm on this side of the grass. I'm 74 years old, Will. Anyway, sure. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question on this about Will Muschamp. Next to the Boom is doom. I mean, the only thing is that has changed my mind is to see that defense, secondary, shore up the slant passes across the middle. I couldn't get over the space that was accumulated between the linebackers and the defensive secondary. That was open all day. So if they can't do that, I can't see them winning. Hey, Diesel, you going to like this? I can't even see them beating Appalachian State.
Easy, 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 easy.
Listen, as far as the goal line down there, he should have called, challenged it, you know, at least taking the time to maybe to talk over the next play they could run and not having Ryan Olinsky go under center. That was the only time, and he fumbled, see?
Right.
And so that left it with one more down, third down. And then after that, you kick the field goal. I don't give a hoot who it is. You kick the field goal on fourth down.
Leaving points was difficult.
That would have been 14. I've been 24-13, and they could come back and say, well, we take the kick off the next half. We make it 24-20. Now, that's just my mind thinking, see? But it ain't going to be – I mean, the offense – Ryan Olinsky, to see him take what? Listen, I think he's the SEC quarterback. He's tough. He's tough. He impressed me so much. The running game. Rico Dowdle had
very
over 100 yards, and that's the first 100 yard rush against Alabama since when? You know. And far as that,
probably since the Clemson game last year.
Fake, right. Far as the fake holding. When Tommy Suggs says the guy was holding, he's holding.
Oh, believe me, I appreciate you backing me up there, Harold. That was a hold. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you have to get points right there. I don't understand going for it on fourth down there. You absolutely have to get points, because you get points there, you feel better about yourself going into halftime, gives you a better shot to go out and score points on the opening drive of the second half, and then it's a toss-up at that point.
I'll tell you this. I didn't mind the I didn't mind going for it on the fourth down there.
I love aggressive play calling. I really do.
And here's the reason why. Because that was a situation where they got themselves 77 yards and 13 plays, held the ball for basically 4.5 minutes. That was almost at the point of found money, if you will. So at that point, I look at that and I say, okay, you need to get a touchdown out of this drive. You worked way too hard to get to this point, to get to this point of the football field and not go in. So that part of it, I totally understand why they went for it. The play calling situation, I didn't like the fact that they didn't try to run it at least one more time. I know that they tried to probably run it with the situation there with Helinski there and the fumbled snap happened. I would have liked another opportunity to run it, because I feel like you had – two downs to get 3 yards. You try the run again. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know who the receiver was on that fourth down call, but it was just off of his fingertips. I mean, Ryan Helinski just barely missed him, because you saw when he came down, his foot came down inbounds.
Right.
So if that ball is 6 inches lower, that's a touchdown.
I'm getting it again here. Hold on. Rico Dowdle rush for 3 yards to the UA1. Ryan Helinski pass incomplete to Kyle Markway. See, that's the thing. On second down, I would have ran it again. The fact that they threw it to Markway there, that was the play you were looking at, the incomplete pass to Markway. I would have ran it there, and then maybe thrown it on third. But again, it's all a bunch of second guessing. And again, that's a lot of that's in the hands of Muschamp and McClendon, and I understand that. But I didn't mind that. But it was Torrey Gurley who pointed out astutely on Twitter. He said, "Look, you know, like Harold said, if you kick the field goal at the end of the half that puts you down 11, they ended up taking the first possession of the second half down, kicking another field goal, they would have been down 8. And then you put a little pressure on them there. Though, again, I think at that point in the ball game, just having a feel of the game, a touchdown would have really been kind of a knife to the heart and said, okay, we're here to play, especially going into the half. But, again, that's one where I'm not going to kill them on that one as much as I kill them on the 4th and 5 from your own 30 and kick and calling a fake punt run. I mean, that's one where I don't mind if you go for it there with your offense. That's why I'm not a big fakes guy, because I don't like when you run a fake because you're telling your offense you're not confident in the ability to get the yardage via conventional means. And I went into this in great detail on my blog, which is, again, Will's Last Word on ESPNUpstate.com. You can find that linked at my Twitter, at Willie P. Style, and at ESPNUpstate on Twitter. And, again, also on our website, ESPNUpstate.com. And it goes also more into this hypothesis that I had at the beginning of the show, and it's the basis of this poll question that we have at ESPNUpstate on Twitter. Look, when Ryan Helinski took the helm of the offense for South Carolina, I thought, this is Will Muschamp's get-out-of-jail-free card. This will keep him safe for 2019. Guess what Ryan Helinski's proving? Ryan Helinski's proving that he can play the quarterback position. And not only play the quarterback position, but probably play it better than the guy who preceded him. And whether you like it or not, that's an indictment on the head coach. Now, whether you want to argue whether it was a loyalty to Bentley, a lack of intestinal fortitude, something we didn't see out of Helinski in the preseason. Again, we don't get to see the preseason, so I can't tell you exactly what he looked like other than what he was doing throwing into a net. All I can give you is what we saw in the spring game, and what we saw in the spring game was very similar to what we saw in the Charleston Southern game. Massive competence for somebody who hadn't played a snap of college football. You saw that a little bit in spurts again against Alabama. 36 of 57, 324, 2 touchdowns. Did throw a bad pick, but again, in the balance of the football game, that was a down where they knew they had to throw. Bad decision making. Also had a fumble. which debatable whether it was his fault, but again, it was more the situation where they brought more guys than they could block, and he has to know the clock is in his head. He has to get rid of that football. But having said all that, the one thing we're seeing is that he can play the position. So now you go back and you look and you say, okay, if you knew that this guy had the ability to play the position to a level that's better than what it seems like his predecessor was, then you start looking at the head coach and you say, where are the problem parts of this football team? All on the defense. Football, the run game. I mean, they ran 135 yards on 29 carries. 4.7 yards a rush. If you would have told me at the beginning of this game that Carolina would have more yards per rush than Alabama, I'd have told you they upset the Crimson Tide. I'd have told you they won the football game. Now, they averaged 16 yards per completion, did Alabama, because of their ability to have guys in space make moves on their defense. And the fact that this is the worst tackling team that I've seen over a two-and-a-half-game stretch, the North Carolina game and the Alabama game, they have not tackled a soul. It has been very bad. And that is not something that is a characteristic of a Will Muschamp team. Throw in the fact that Chris Lowe last hour said to us on ESPN Upstate, and I'm glad you put this on the Twitter, Diesel, coming into the game, a lot of the guys on the Alabama staff felt Helinski provided more challenges than Bentley did, which is part of the reason why I thought they would cover the spread, which they did. Backdoor. Again, thank you. You're welcome. So, at the end of the day, where are the problems of this football team? The problems that are mostly overseen by the head coach. Safety. Tackling. Inability to stop guys in space. Giving up explosive plays. That's the part of this that's most frustrating. And that's the part that, in my mind, tells me that despite thinking that Helinski was a potential savior for Muschamp's job because of the fact that they would not look at him based on the fact that he would have a freshman quarterback, the fact that Helinski has proven competence at the position, and the fact that the defense has played so poorly over the first three games of this season, at least two of them, tells me that Muschamp's in a lot more trouble than he'd probably like to think he is. So when I ask the question, does Will Muschamp need to win the next two games to save his job? I would tell you unequivocally, yes. You need to get to 3-2. Because after this point, you're going to be 3-3 after the Georgia game. You have to beat Florida now without Felipe Franks. But if you don't win that game, you're 3-4. And then you're looking at a final stretch of at Tennessee, who you have to beat. Because Tennessee is a garbage dumpster fire right now. Vanderbilt, App State, A&M. You're going to win two of those games. You're not going to win the A&M game, and you're not going to win the Clemson game. So if you beat Missouri and Kentucky, you're going to get to a bowl, hopefully for you, by the Vanderbilt game, if not the App State game. But if you don't get to a bowl this year, you can't look at the quarterback and say he was the problem. Because I don't think he's the problem. The problems are much different now than they were at the earlier part of this season, at least from people's perspective that way. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. We'll talk Clemson with David Hood in mere moments. Let's go to Connor first. Connor, you're on ESPN Upstate.
Hey, man. How y'all doing?
What's up?
A couple weeks ago when we lost to North Carolina, I called and asked about Will Muschamp getting fired, and you said that there was no way, no matter how the season went, because his buyout was $18 million.
Correct.
Does that change if we have a worse season, or do you think we still keep him for another year or two?
I believe that the buyout doesn't the buyout is something that I don't believe is a mitigating factor anymore. Let's put it that way. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know who the person who would want to write that check is going to be, but I have been assured by a couple people that I've talked to that that is not going to be a mitigating factor since I said that. Now, that might be because of the changing tide of the way the program has gone. I know outwardly they'll probably say a lot of those things, but the one thing that I thought was going to save him, or the two things I thought were going to save him, were Halinski and the buyout. And I don't think either of those things can save him. The thing that can save him is wins. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number. Jim is calling in. Jim, you're on ESPN Upstate.
Hey, appreciate you taking my call. I'm going to throw out a question, then I'm going to hang up and listen to your response. You know, the reason that we have Muschamp is that Carolina was not a very attractive position at the time we were looking for a coach.
Correct.
So my question is, if Muschamp goes, does having Halinski make it a more attractive position for an up-and-coming offensive-minded guy? I'm going to hang out and listen.
I would say it does. I would say, though,
South Carolina's not had a whole lot of history of going out and getting up-and-coming guys.
Right. I would say it does, but it almost comes into a situation where you have to pick a head coach that Halinski likes, honestly. And that's a hard thing to do when you have a guy basically only for maybe 2-3 years tops left. So you're making a decision. You're making a 10-year decision based on a guy who's only going to be there for 2 to 3 years. It's a difficult spot to be in. But I think having him would help, and having other guys in the coffers helps too, like Luke Doty. But I'm also telling you this, the situation as it stands right now, the fact that the defensive things are breaking down the level that they are does not give him a lot of pause. Now, again, this could be a moot point. They could win the next 2 weeks, go to a bowl, and be fine. Because I think a bowl does save him. And I'm not necessarily saying that I agree with it either, but I'm just telling you that's where the mindset is of where the people are, of where the power brokers are right now. There's a lot of apathy and a lot of fed-upness, for lack of a better term, amongst people inside the power structure there. And they believed that this should have been more of a turning point. Again, there's only been three games, so let's not make a mountain of a molehill here. And one of those three games was against a number two team in the country. But a lot of those things were given instead of earned, so to speak. One more before we get to David Hood. Let's go to Brad, who's on the line. Brad, you're on ESPN Upstate.
Hey, guys. Tell me if this is correct or not. I don't know if it's 100% correct. Y'all might not know either. I don't know. But I started following. I'm a lifelong Gamecock fan, and I started hearing the Halinski story 14, 16, 18 months ago, whenever it was that we got his verbal commitment. And it's been quite some time ago. And so I've known his story for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that the reason we got him is that Muschamp was working some camp out on the West Coast, and he struck up a genuine personal relationship with Ryan Halinski. And from that point forward, that is why he's remained a Gamecock from Orange County, California. So to
Correct.
Your point that the head coach is going to have to be hand-picked by Halinski. Well, Halinski's already made that call. That's why I don't think Muschamp's going anywhere anytime soon.
It's a good point, Brad. And again, that part of it is very much a big thing, because there is the risk of if you lose Muschamp, you lose Halinski. And that's part of the reason why I thought his job security was safe from at least that perspective. But there are enough peeved people right now, it seems, that there are just, you know, they're dictating the situation, which is unfortunate.
Who's going to win in a fight for the program's soul? An 18-year-old quarterback or a couple of really rich donors?
The rich people.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. 844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number. We'll come back, switch the gears over to some Clemson talk. David Hood was in Central New York and saw the continuation of the Dabo Swinney Revenge Tour. Next on ESPN Upstate.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Texter from the 864 says, Ryan Olinsky would have won against UNC. Muschamp places more importance on loyalty and relationships based on talent or instead of talent, and what makes his team better. No matter how bad things get, he'll always keep his defensive coordinator. And again, that could be to his detriment, at least I would add parenthetically in my mind. We will switch gears and talk some Clemson football right now. Our good friend David Hood from Tiger Net was up in central New York and saw another beatdown. Clemson 41, Syracuse 6. David, I understand you needed to bring the sleeves up to Syracuse / Cooperstown. Hope you enjoyed yourself. What's going on?
I always enjoy the trip up there, especially going to Cooperstown. It was 63 degrees with a breeze, and I stayed in my shorts and my t-shirt just enjoying the cool weather for once.
It was very, very nice for Clemson to avenge 2 years of games against a team that they had struggled with. How important did it seem to the players after the fact to get this win in this building against this team?
I think Trevor Lawrence said it best. You know, he said, we weren't really fixated on, on coming here and blowing them out or anything like that. He said, but, you know, we've heard things, and it was important to us. He said, leave no doubt. And then Isaiah Simmons, the great linebacker / safety that the Tigers have, you know, he had a great comment after the game. He said, you know, we felt a little disrespect. He said all of their highlight videos over the summer and, so far this year have just been fixated on Clemson and that win a couple of years ago and playing Clemson close last year. And he kind of fussed and he said, I can tell him if you want to build a program, you can't do it by fixating on one team. You know, he said, I play every game like it's a national championship game. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. And that's what they're going to have to do. So you can tell that it was important to the guys.
It's odd to me, David, because this is a revenge tour, is what it looks like. It looks like a revenge tour, yet the team went 15-0 in the season prior, and they shouldn't be looking for revenge when they took care of the opponents that they did on their schedule the way they did. To me, they're looking for redemption when it seems like the only people they're trying to convince themselves, and they've done so.
Well, I think it's just part of, you know, some of that motivation that you have to have. And, you know, part of their motivation, too. And I've heard this from multiple people that Dabo has told them people don't respect the win that you had last year, even though, you know, you may think otherwise. All people have had, you know, is excuses on why Alabama lost. They don't respect that win. If you want to prove to everybody that it's real, now you go 30-0 and win another national championship. And, you know, it's all part of trying to keep players who are younger and engaged and motivated. And can't blame it. I mean, you can't fuss about it because it seems to work.
Certainly so. David Hood of TigerNet joining us here on ESPN Upstate. I've become a staunch defender, it seems, of Trevor Lawrence now, because it seems like a lot of the national hot takers are coming out here and asking what is wrong with the guy. And it's not that there's anything wrong with the guy. He's just played two of the best three teams that they could possibly play on their schedule. And because of that, he's having to take shots. He's having to have higher degree of difficulty throws. This is more of a product of the teams they played, not necessarily any regression from Trevor's part. Do you agree?
Yeah, I don't think there's been any regression. I think that maybe his success last year, Jeff Scott said it today, has maybe he thinks he can fit some balls in some tight windows that he really shouldn't try. Or he trusts those big 6'4", 6'5" wide receivers a little too much. And as Jeff said, I think he's made some decisions that he would like back. But Trevor came out and he said, look, we throw the football a lot. You know, we're going to throw it 30 times a game, and we have great receivers. And sometimes that means that you're going to make mistakes, and I'll live with them. And all you have to do is kind of point to the fact that they had, I think, 25 first downs and 41 points and won by 35, and he threw for 395 and three touchdowns. But you know, all people want to talk about is just a couple of throws.
Certainly so. Two of the throws he made were to Amari Rodgers, and one of those was an 87-yard scamper. His knee looks fine, David, and I'm still amazed at how fine it does look.
It's almost unbelievable how quick he's come back. And, you know, I made the statement on Twitter, I think, after that throw that he'll probably be in the starting lineup again sooner rather than later. I think that he might be a little bit of what Trevor's missing, that great safety valve on third down, kind of like a Hunter Renfrow was, a sure-handed guy, you're not going to see him really drop balls. And he also proved that he's got a little bit of an extra gear once he kind of broke that second tackle on the sideline. You know, he was booking it down that sideline. Nobody was going to catch him. And I think you've just got to have that kind of guy in your lineup. And the fact that his knee looks so good and looks so healthy and that he trusts it, you can tell the way that he broke that tackle that he's trusting the knee. It's just another weapon for Trevor to have.
David Hood of TigerNet joining us here on ESPN Upstand. He was at Syracuse for Clemson's 41-6 win over the Orange in the Empire State. Is it possible, David, that Brent Venables is still underpaid?
I think it could be. I don't know that you can really pay that man enough right now. Jamie Skalski, the linebacker, called him a mastermind today, and he said, look, you know, there's times I go into the meeting room, and he's got like 20 new ideas that he's floating around up there and different defenses, and he's like, I'm trying to take notes, and I'm trying to write it all down and keep up. And he said, then we may use five of them. And it's just amazing what he's been able to do. In fact, there was a Syracuse media member sitting next to me Saturday, and after that sack of Tommy DeVito on fourth down where he just did not see Isaiah Simmons coming up the middle.
Well, he killed him.
He killed him. He said, I think that Brent Venables just broke Tommy DeVito. I think that it's going to take a while for them to fix him after, you know, what he's seen. He was seeing things that he didn't know he was seeing. He was looking for things he didn't know to look for. And it was just, you know, the fact of Brent was bringing pressure from everywhere. Corners were blitzing and safeties were blitzing and linebackers were coming and defensive ends were dropping into coverage. It's just kind of crazy right now. And he understands that the strength of his defense. Last year it was that defensive line, so he played based on that. This year it's that back seven, especially that secondary, and guys like Isaiah Simmons and Kayvon Wallace, and he's using that strength. It's just great coaching.
Isaiah Simmons should be an All-American this year, right?
You know what? Not only should he be an All-American, but if he keeps playing like this, he needs to be in somebody's Heisman conversation. The guy is he's just incredible, and 11 more tackles, I think, Saturday night, and, you know, in on sacks and tackles for loss and batting passes down. And, you know, I don't know that there's a whole lot of defensive players around the country right now playing any better.
Well, it's weird because he's like half a linebacker and half a defensive back. I mean, do you put him up for the Butkus Award or what? Like, or do you go maybe the Jim Thorpe Award? How do you classify him?
Maybe you create the first ever Butkus Thorpe Award and just go at it that way. You know, he's classified as a Sam linebacker, so it would be the Butkus Award. But, you know, he's not what you would think of with your typical, you know, square-shouldered, fire-breathing linebacker that's out there chewing on grass. He just does so much, whether it's dropping into coverage or playing as a nickelback or even one time Saturday, I think I saw him out there and he was the dime guy and he's a linebacker. And then, you know, then you see him rushing the quarterback and breaking through the line of scrimmage and running people over. What he does, nobody else really does across the country.
I would argue that he has bigger pro potential than any of the four guys they got drafted last year in the first round. And I'm not saying that to disparage those guys, but just because of the fact that it seems like he plays a position that is now all the rage in the National Football League, the fact that he can cover and he can rush the passer and he can do some things in the run game to stuff things, he's such a versatile guy. I think his pro potential is timeless.
Oh, it's off the charts. And, you know, I think if the draft were to be held right now, he's a top 10 pick. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And if you want to know what the pros are thinking, all you had to do was look on the sidelines, and I counted three or four different scouts watching him simply warm up Saturday night. They were all over there with their little notepads and their phones and taking pictures and taking notes, and there is no doubt that the NFL has all of its attention on Isaiah.
David Hood of TigerNet joining us here on ESPN Upstate. All right, so do you just go to bed until December now? Is that how that works?
Well, you would almost think so, but talking to somebody out there Saturday night, I said, how do you keep these guys motivated and engaged, considering that probably from here on out, I mean, maybe until they get to a South Carolina or somebody, they may be 20-point favorites over everybody else. They just might be, or a Wake Forest if Wake can keep playing well. And he said, one thing that Coach Sweeney does is he does a great job of this, making this team realize every team that they play, they're going to get their best shot. So maybe a Syracuse didn't play great against Maryland, but they're going to give Clemson their best shot. They're going to get NC State's best shot, and you have to play well every week. So I still think there's some interesting football down the road. You know, we're 3 weeks in. We still got some teams. I think that 2 weeks in Chapel Hill could be an interesting game. It's always fun up in Raleigh at NC State. And then, like I said, the way that Wake Forest is playing and South Carolina has found a quarterback. They still have issues defensively, but they can put points on the board. So I still think there's some intriguing football to be played.
Certainly so. We're talking, of course, with David Hood at TigerNet. If there is one you had to put in as a game that might be closer than a lot of the Clemson optimists would think, which one would that be?
You know, right now, I would almost say South Carolina. Just I like what they're doing with their offense. I like what they did against Alabama, and that's going to be in Columbia, and they're going to try and keep it from being six in a row. And, you know, rivalry games always have that way of having a little extra juice. And, you know, that's kind of the one that I look at right now.
You're trying really hard to have them not give you your Chick-fil-A sandwich tomorrow.
That's okay. You know, I'll just bring Jersey Mike's.
My guy, David Hood, TigerNet, of course, fantastic work up there in Central New York. Thanks for the time as always, bud. We'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
That is David Hood joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. That South Carolina game, I'm telling you, man, Bentley couldn't be the antidote. Maybe Hilinski is the antidote. How crazy would that be? That would be the one. If you won that game, carte blanche, Muschamp gets 5 years. Like, they would sign an extension for Muschamp. If South Carolina is 3-8 going into that game and they still beat Clemson, Muschamp gets a 5-year extension after that game.
If South Carolina could go on another five-peat, but only win 3 games a year, would you keep Will Muschamp?
That's kind of the way they think right now.
Oof, that's a toughie.
I want to ask a question at some point when we have a more dead day, like outside of the season. I want to ask the question: who is in the other's head more? Because they all like to think that the other side is in the other side's head more. You know what I'm saying? Like, Clemson fans like to think that South Carolina fans obsess about them more than the opposite inverse. And South Carolina fans love to think that Clemson fans are obsessed with them and the inverse. So that's a summer rainy day topic if we ever have one. Throw that in the list. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. 71307 is the text line. We'll do some Clemson sound later on in the program. We'll do some South Carolina sound. We'll read some more of your texts and continue to get your answers on the poll question of the day. Because Will Muschamp need to win the next 2 games to save his hide right now for the Gamecocks. It's ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Texter from the 864 is a Bobby Bentley conspiracy theorist. Once again, does Bobby Bentley have anything to do with Jake not getting benched? Seems like the package deal for the father-son duo included my son as the starter for his career at U of SC. Look, I'm going to make this about as plain and frank as someone will make it. These coaches do not make promises of that nature, I don't think. Now, there have been situations where guys have felt like they were promised playing time and they don't get that, but Will Muschamp is not going to hold himself hostage for a guy who doesn't think like he's going to make is not going to allow his team to win. Now, the one thing that I will say is that Will Muschamp probably didn't feel like he had the intestinal fortitude to start a true freshman over a returning 3-year starter. I'll say that. It would take a lot of stones to do that. And guess who also didn't have the stones to do that right out of the gate? Dabo Swinney. Even though it clearly, as Stephen A. Smith would say, clearly looked to me that Trevor Lawrence was the better quarterback of the two between he and Kelly Bryant. But even he didn't have the ability or the wherewithal to make that happen. Now, there are other coaches who have said, you know what? To heck with what's been here beforehand. The guy coming in is better. Mac Brown, North Carolina. 11 other coaches in the country who had true freshmen start right off the bat. So, again, that's not a Muschamp thing. It's not a Bobby Bentley thing. It's just this is the way conventional wisdom with these coaches works. There is becoming a departure from that. There's a wave that's continuing to come across college football that these freshmen that come in who have the training on a lot of these offenses that they run in high school, they become a lot more adept to what's going on than the guys who were there existing in those spots. I don't think it's a Bobby Bentley situation.
This is a business. You have to protect your own job.
Right?
Also. And right? When you've got fan bases that are so fickle and, you know, a handful of schools, not all have the money to be able to fire a coach whenever they want to, but when you're at a school with an alumni base with the cash to buy you out if they really, really want to, and you can't hold back.
And that's the thing. It's like I don't understand why people seem to think that there's this conspiracy theory between the Bentley family and Muschamp. Like, there isn't. It's not there. That's not a thing. If Muschamp thinks that player C is going to make his football team win more, he's going to go with player C or player A or player B. Now, there might have been some reticence based on the fact that he was a true freshman, but I'm guessing right now a lot of coaches across the country are seeing the way these true freshmen have played, Helinski included, and say, you know what? These are the winds of change. And you know who's also seen the winds of change in his game? Rico Dowdle. Tavian Feaster came into this program thinking that he was probably going to be the starting running back for South Carolina, but instead, all he's done is light a fire underneath the behind of Rico Dowdle, and he's running with a violence and a vengeance that we haven't seen with him in a South Carolina uniform.
First of all, thanks to the O-line. First, them guys doing great up front. I think they did good all three games, opening up holes and things like that. But just off-season training and things like that goes into it. Just coming out, being hungry. I mean, the goal is to progress every week. Like you said, we lost, obviously. Just got to come out next week and get better. Take it one week at a time. Every week is a season. That's how we look at it. And like you said, we're going to be desperate and hungry. Shows the will that the coaches want to have to win and the win that we have, want to win as players. I think on the fake field goal, we executed it very well. Obviously, scored a touchdown. I don't think it was a holding call. We got a bad holding call called on that one. But like I said, it just shows the will, the want to win.
Now, he's a player. Of course, he's going to say it like that. But again, like I said before, the hold was legit, at least in my mind. And one guy who I think has really come on and who's probably benefited the most with Helinski being at the helm is Bryan Edwards. Bryan, who had just one catch in the opening game against North Carolina, had nine in the game against Alabama on 11 targets, 79 yards receiving. He was not one of the two touchdowns that was thrown by Helinski, but he certainly helped set it up. 8.8 yards a catch. He's had a different look about him since Helinski's come on.
I mean, it's tough, you know, getting a big play like that called back. You know, it kind of shifts the momentum back. But, I mean, it is what it is. You know, you can't change it. I don't believe in moral victories. We lost today. I mean, I'm a competitor. I want to win. So, you know, we lost, and that's what it is. I mean, we competed, but we lost. We knew from the jump. I mean, anytime you play a team like Alabama, you're going to have to be aggressive. You know, when you see the teams that beat them in the past, they've been aggressive. They take shots down the field, and they get explosive plays, and that's just what it is. I knew we were talented. I knew we could hit explosive plays. It was just all about out there, going out there and executing it. And you saw that at times, and at times we didn't. So, and I feel like that was, you know, the difference in the game. You know, Ryan is he's a true leader. So, you know, anytime we lose, he's going to take the blame for it. And I just told him, you know, you did a great job out here. Your second start against, you know, a top five ranked team. And you just to keep your head up, and we're going to get it turned around.
There was a big embrace on the field between Edwards and Helinski, and that was what he was referencing in the last part of that clip, which was, again, I see him taking more to Helinski. I see the team taking more to Helinski than I think they ever did to Bentley. And, again, it's not that it's bad from Bentley. It's just, again, I feel like much like a manager in baseball, much like a head coach in any other sport, sometimes the message gets lost on guys. There was a lot of dejected players on the offensive side of the football after the way Bentley played in against North Carolina, and Bryan Edwards was one of them. I mean, he had a toot after that game, if you will. But he looks a heck of a lot better and seems a lot more confident in Hilinski and much of the other players on the offense as well. This is Ryan Hilinski's team from here on out. I'm telling you, South Carolina will not see Jake Bentley take another snap for him. It's just not happening. 844-GSP ESPN is the phone number, 71307 the text line. Non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. Remember when your mother told you video games don't equal real life? We explain why when we come back next on ESPN Upstate. South Carolina's next home game, we found out earlier today, will be a night game hosting Kentucky, 7:30 on the SEC Network. So it means we'll get to see Tom Hart, Cole Kubelik, and Jordan Rogers in the house. It'll be very nice for that. Their game this weekend is a 4 o'clock Eastern time tilt. Clemson will play their game at 4 o'clock this week. 7:30 this week, actually, I should say. They will play the 7:30 kick. That game, of course, coming against Charlotte.
A team that's lighting up the scoreboards.
Stop it. Just stop it right now. And found out that their game, the 28th, against North Carolina, is going to be a night game as well. So we will keep you abreast of all the information that involves that. But first, for the top of the hour, we give you a non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. No opportunity for you to get off the schneid here, Diesel. A Call of Duty gamer in the state of Kansas pled guilty to the conspiracy in a case of, quote, swatting, the practice of making false 911 calls to force police to respond with SWAT teams, after Wichita police fatally shot a person who he was playing Call of Duty with. The gentleman's name was Andrew Finch in December of 2017. They sentenced the defendant, one of the defendants, to 15 months in prison, the other guy to 20 years in prison. He had been recruited to, quote, SWAT another gamer after getting into an argument while playing Call of Duty World War II. Have you ever heard of this practice before?
Never. But it sounds awesome.
Sounds terrible. No, the guy died.
Well, that's terrible.
The guy died.
That's terrible, but you know, in a world of just online arguments, you finally get to go do something.
That seems...
Except you really didn't.
Yeah, it seems bad. The guy's going to prison. Hour three, we'll come back, reset the program, tell you what's going on with South Carolina and Clemson.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.